Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 14. While you are turning there, we have Mr. Billy Hokett. The EMS were called to his house. Understand his blood pressure was high. Don't know, did they take him to the hospital? Does anyone know? They did, okay. All right, so be much in prayer for him. Okay. In fact, let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. God, our Father, we lift up to you our friend Billy Hokett and pray, God, that your blessings would attend him and his wife. And Father, minister your grace to them, sustain them. And Lord, whatever is the situation and circumstances, we put them in your hands, knowing your will is best, and we pray for your will to be done. We would ask for healing, but Lord, most of all, we ask for your will to be done in this life. Bless us this day, Lord, as we hear your word and proclaim it. May we live it as well. In Christ's name, amen. In honor of God's word, would you stand with me, if you're able to, for the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 14. We'll begin with verse 1. Now it happened at Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there. Would you pray with me again? God, open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your word and your message. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, and move upon our lives your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We are living in a day and time when there are highs and lows, ups and downs, cold and warm, promotions, demotions, praise and criticism, and thank you guys for the music, respect and hatred, all extremes of life. Paul and Barnabas are no exceptions. They experience that in their lives, and we are experiencing it through the writing of the Word of God. The crowds wanted to worship. The crowds wanted to worship them, only later to stone them. But through it all, Paul and Barnabas survived and pressed on. They kept on doing what was accepted and expedient for them, which was evangelism, which was preaching and teaching and sharing the Word of God, being witnesses of Jesus Christ and to Jesus Christ. Their proclamation was the gospel, the good news. In 1972, when the Lord called me to preach, I began preaching. And through the years, as I would preach the Word of God, there were different ones that I would come up with and listen to and hear preaching different things other than the Word of God. People would ask me, "Well, Pastor Don, what are you going to preach? Are you going to preach from the newspaper today? Are you going to tell the latest story on the ball field or the golf course? What exactly are you going to preach this morning?" My response has always been, "Friend, I don't have anything to preach except the Word of God. There is nothing else to preach." Now, illustrations may come from the newspaper. Illustrations may come from the latest story on the golf course or ball field. Illustrations are one thing, but the gospel is the main thing. And you don't change the main thing. Paul's pattern was to take the gospel to the people. In every city that he went into, Paul went first to the synagogue of the Jews. But when the Jews would not accept the gospel, he would then in turn go to the Gentiles. But even if there were those Jews who did receive the gospel, accept the gospel that he proclaimed, he still went to the Gentiles. He would go to the Jew first and to the Gentile second. We have to go where the people are. If you're going to fish, you got to go where the fish are, right? I mean, those of you who fish, where do you go to fish? I could bring my rod and reel this morning and cast it out here, but I would not catch any fish. I might catch something else from different ones that I would snag, but it would not be fish. You got to go to where the fish are. The good news of Jesus Christ's love, death, burial, and resurrection to bring salvation is the gospel message. It's the good news. Gospel stands for or means good news. And that good news is for everyone. And we are to preach it, teach it, share it in any way and every way that we can with everyone that we can. Paul and Barnabas's message of the gospel was with great effectiveness. Look at verse 1. It happened in Iconium. They went together to the synagogue of the Jews and they spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks or Gentiles, believed. So they had those who believed, both of Jews and Gentiles. But they preached the gospel, they shared the gospel, they witnessed to the gospel. A number of people believed. They believed the message they communicated. They communicated it well, enough so that people believed. They had effectiveness and they had boldness. Verse 3 says, "Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of His grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands." Boldness. Wherever the message of Christ is proclaimed, folks, wherever it is proclaimed, wherever it's preached, wherever it's taught, wherever it's shared and witnessed to, there is boldness by those who share it first and foremost. And if there's any that believe, it's boldness that they make it public. Let me share something with you. Jesus Christ, whomever He shared the gospel with in the New Testament, He called it, He did it publicly. That's why we give a public invitation here in the church. And here in the church, it should be one of the best places to be able to share your witness and to be able to come down this aisle and either bend and bow at this altar or share your faith by walking down the aisle and being a witness by walking down the aisle that you've believed Jesus, that you've trusted Jesus, that you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. It should be one of the best places that you find friendship, fellowship, that you find camaraderie with the people who are there. You ought not to be afraid at all. The people who ought to be afraid are those who do not know Jesus, do not want Jesus. And of course, they're not going to be here most of the time anyway. But our responsibility is to share the gospel. It's to share it wherever we go, with whomever we can, with boldness and with effectiveness and with courage. In verses 6 and 7, that's what they had. They became aware of the threat against their life. They became aware of it, and they fled to Lystra, Derbe, cities of Lyconium, and to the surrounding area. And what did they do? Did they stop? Did they pause? Go in hiding? No, look at verse 7. And they were preaching the gospel there. There ought never to be a stop of the sharing of the gospel. Folks, we've got to witness to the gospel. If you want people to be a part of the kingdom of God, listen, first and foremost, that's our desire. It's our desire that people be saved. It's our desire that people miss hell and make heaven. But the only way that they're going to do that is if we share, if we witness to them, if we share the gospel with them. And the only way we're going to do that is open mouth and share it. But listen, if your life does not bear witness to what you're saying, it doesn't work. Don't transport it. Get your life right. That's why we're here. To be right with the Lord Jesus and to be encouraged by one another and built up. We talked about that this past Wednesday night. Built up, encouraged, and strengthened by one another and the gospel to go out into our world and boldly, courageously witness to our world. But if we're not living it, don't speak it. You speak ye with the forky tongue if you do. Don't speak with a forked tongue. Leaving Iconia, they went to Lystra and Derbe and continued to preach and teach there. If you will notice back in chapter 13, the gospel is not always welcomed. It's not always wanted. It's always interesting to me. Over 53 years plus in ministry, it's always interested me where the gospel is not wanted. You know where the gospel is not wanted? Where it's needed most. In the homes of those that are hurting. Marriage is breaking down. Families breaking up. Brother and sister estranged. Father and daughter. Son and mom estranged from one another. I read this past week an obituary. You may have read the same one. I don't recall the name of the person that died, but in that obituary, several family members were named estranged. Brother, estranged. Sister, estranged. Well, I sure wouldn't have put it in the obituary. Folks, listen. We're living in a day and time when people are at odds, so divisive, so split, so separated. They need Jesus. They don't need to talk about what's wrong with the world. They need Jesus. He's the one that can heal. He's the one that can bring us back together. That's the message. That's effective, that's bold, and courageous. C.H. Spurgeon, as a young pastor in England, spoke with effectiveness and boldness to thousands each week. Lay people and pastors began to mock him and tried to get his leaders of his church to stop him. I mean, Thousands were coming to the Lord Jesus. Thousands were attending His church. Thousands were coming to Jesus. And there was a group that wanted to stop Him. Folks, that's always going to be present. It's always going to be there. People are always going to want to shut the gospel down. And you know what? You know what? So terrible. Many of them claim to be Christian. But C.H. Spurgeon kept on. Kept on courageously preaching and reaching people for the Lord Jesus. Barnabas and Paul moved on to Lystra and they kept on preaching. But notice also their presentation of the gospel in verses 8 through 19. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intensely and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped up and he walked. Now, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priests of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitude. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and we preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. And then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. They went to where the people were. They went to where the fish were. In past years, we would do many things to find where people were. We would do outreach events. We would try to find names. We would buy mailing lists, send out cards and things, and find where people live so that we could go and make visits and witness. This is the 21st century. We don't have to go find the people. Guess what? They're coming all around us. You got a neighborhood right here. Two of them, in fact. You've got one over here. Two of them, in fact. Go on down the road within a mile from this church, 2 miles from this church. There are communities with several hundreds of people, if not thousands. There's no excuse. We have no excuse. There's no excuse why Corinth Baptist Church ought not be full. Our message is with effectiveness if we share it, if we give it. The WMU went just a couple of weeks ago and passed out cookies, walking and prayer walking in this community over here, wasn't it? Yeah. And we had, the last week, we had one of the folks who lived there come That's one way to do it. With effectiveness. And also with boldness. Boldly proclaiming the gospel. When the people saw what Paul had done, wow, they grew crazy wild with excitement. The gods have come down to us. Well, listen, friends, it wasn't the God of Hermes and Zeus that came down to us. It was the God of gods. There's only one God. He's come down to us. He's been here with us. He is here with us today, and He will be with us as we go out, as He told us, as you are going in life, share the gospel. Be a witness. Lo, I am with you always. But we've got to be bold. Their message was threefold. There was only one God who created everything. Two, the God had given man a choice. And three, He had set the standards, the parameters about which we should live. He had been gracious in spite of the evil and all that has been done through the centuries. But people continued to worship Paul and Barnabas. But they were courageous. Look at verses 19 and 20. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. They wanted to shut him up. Why? Because he was preaching the gospel. He was teaching the gospel. And people were believing. People were following. People were eating it up. But a lot of people don't want that in the church. A lot of people have problems with that in the church. So they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, left him lying there as if he were dead. Look at verse 20. However, when the disciples gathered around him, the disciples, who were the disciples? The believers. The believers gathered around Paul, lying there as if he were dead. Gathered around him, he rose up. He went back into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Courageous. After the mob left, thinking he was dead, Paul got up, and he and Barney went back to the city, and the next day they left. Still serving the Lord, being a witness. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. They didn't say, well, I don't like it down there. I don't like those people down there. I don't like that down there. I don't like what they did to me. Hey, can I say something to you? And I mean it with love. Get over it. Really get over it. You know, in this day and time, the Lord Jesus is one who cares and loves everybody. And even though we go through these times of up and down, in and out, and over yonder, and here and there, the difficulties and all, God says to us, hey, remember what I did for you? And you remember that I took your blows, the stripes on my back, and the scars in my hands and feet and side. I took you. I did that for you. And I stayed on the cross. I didn't come down from the cross. I didn't give up because people don't like me. I told my wife one Sunday morning, I told her, honey, I just don't want to go today. She said, honey, you got to go. You got to get up and go. I said, I don't want to go. I don't like some of those folks down there. They don't like me down there. She said, honey, you got to go. You're the preacher. Folks, it doesn't matter. It does. The Lord cares about us and loves us. But even in those times, God wants to pick us up, brush us off, and set us back in the game of life. Because the reality is, if people don't hear the message, how are they going to come to Jesus? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you, as a child of God, don't share God with them, how are they going to come to God? So we have to boldly, courageously keep on telling our story, no matter what happens, because it's effective. It's effective in our world today. But not only did they share the Word of God and persuade people with the gospel message, their proclamation and their performance and their persuasion, they trusted the Lord Jesus and love the Lord Jesus. Look at verses 21 through 28. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, Derbe, see they left Lystra, Iconium, and they went to Derbe. And when they had preached, verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They were stupid. Who wants to go back to where you were run out of and stoned to death almost? Paul and Barnabas, they went back. They preached wherever they went, and then they went back. And you'll find that throughout the Apostle Paul's ministry anyway. He always went back and encouraged the churches that they had started. Strengthening the souls, verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciple, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. See, that's what I've already said to you. Through many tribulations, through many ups and downs, ins and outs, over and under, through many tribulations, problems, stress, persecution, we enter the kingdom of God. I doubt very seriously there's anyone in heaven today that's in heaven today without going through any trials and tribulations in their life. Some, as Hebrews tells us, some even dying for the gospel. Paul met his fate with a chopping block. His head was cut off because he preached the gospel. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word to Perga, in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work to which they had completed. And when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples, being encouraged, being built up. They preached the good news wherever they went. They had an effectiveness wherever they went. and an explosion of belief in Jesus Christ. They participated in follow-up as they retold their stories over and over. Whenever we have our missionaries back, we have a reporting time. It's good to hear what's going on with them. Yeah. So when y'all get back, we're going to hear from you as well, reporting what the Lord has done. They heard what Paul and Barnabas had been through. A full range of situations and circumstances Paul and Barnabas experienced. There was public praise. There was great encouragement. There were life and death situations, being stoned. But through it all, God was with them. God was with them. God carried them through. God saw them through. God was faithful to them. They had effectiveness in their evangelistic gospel zeal. They presented their proclamation, and it was with persuasion in reaching people for Jesus. Three quick things in closing. One, failure and discouragement call for perspective. The ability to see the total picture, the big picture, the end picture. Not just individual scenes, not just right now, not just tomorrow, not just yesterday, but the total perspective, the big picture, is what we've got to look at. That's what we've got to major on, and that is heaven. Secondly, success and elation have to be tempered with realism. When we ride high on the pinnacle of success, we must always remember the pit from which we came. Thirdly, growth and balance require stability. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while." We could leave that little phrase out, couldn't we? I mean, "And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will Himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast." That would be wonderful. But it wouldn't be true. But it would be great, wouldn't it? Who of us won't suffer? And we talked about in Sunday school this morning, sacrifice. Who wants to sacrifice? But the Apostle Peter put it very succinctly under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, "And the God of all grace..." And that's the Lord Jesus. He is the God of all grace. Hallelujah. "Who called you to His eternal glory." We are saved, and we are saved for His glory and for Him today. He's called us to His eternal glory. That's not going to last just for the time that we're down here on earth. It's going to last forever, 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 forever. It's going to last forever. After you have suffered a while. We're going to suffer a little while down here. But the Apostle Paul, who suffered quite a bit, said this: "We have not yet seen nor understood all that we will be when that time comes." Now that's put in Don Cashwell vernacular. "But when we see Him, we'll be like Him. And through eternity, we'll glorify and praise His name forever." After you've suffered a while, will Himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's what the Lord Jesus promises us down here and up there when we get there. But we've got to be faithful while we're here. What? Oh, what a Savior Jesus is. Pray with me. Father, we thank You so much for this time. We thank You for Your Word. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that we can depend upon You, look to You, cling to You. Our health, our hope, and for all that we need today. To carry us through. To make us effective. To give us boldness. And keep us filled with courage. To carry on. Your message. Help us to be faithful, Your witnesses. In Jesus' name, amen.